This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Ramble.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of You Can Sit With Us. I'm Matt, sitting here with Becky.
Hi.
We have Rainey on the ones and twos.
Hello.
And we have a very, very special guest, the most colorful person in the Try Guys office, Desiree. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for coming to sit with us today.
Of course, thank you for having me.
We're so excited to have you here to give us all the back... No, what I say?
The behind the scenes
knowledge of all things Try Guys.
Oh yeah, that's I got them all.
You got them all.
Everything
all
in the world.
All the tea.
But before we get to the tea, I think we need to talk about the giant cast in the room. For those that can't see, Desiree has a broken ankle.
Yes, broken ankle.
Broken ankle, but
ouch.
Which is sad. We don't want a broken ankle.
No.
But what joy came out of it? Most recently signed said cast.
I did get JoJo Siwa to sign my cast. So yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Well, I feel like you have to tell the story.
I feel like walking down this street.
Okay, so JoJo Siwa, her new music video, Karma, she was having like a release party throughout WeHo, like a bunch of different places at WeHo. Also, sorry about my voice. I had too much fun this weekend. But
that's fine. People only hate my voice. So
great.
It's okay.
Thank God for Becky. But basically, I told Kaylin that I want to go to this JoJo Siwa music video release at Rocco's in WeHo. And I dragged her along, and she fangirled so hard that she basically screamed for JoJo to sign my cast.
She might have had more fun than you at
signing. No, 100%. Like, I planned it. I'm like, if I'm going, I want JoJo Siwa to sign my cast. I brought a Sharpie from the office.
Nice.
So, yeah, we got JoJo to sign my cast at this release party, and now a lot of people have been seeing us in the background of the TikTok.
Pretty much any TikTok video you see of JoJo Siwa at her album,
video release.
You will see front and center Desiree and Kaylin singing all the words.
And her cast.
To Karma.
Desiree and her cast.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about your hair, because it's different than your standard.
Okay, yes.
This is true.
For those
I know you said most colorful in the office, and I was like, not right now, Matt.
Not anymore. Right
now. Your personality makes up for it.
Thank you.
Very colorful.
Thank you. I am in transition between my pink and green and what I'm now going to, which is a secret surprise.
Oh.
But I'm getting it done this week. So the last time I was there, they like took all of the color out so they could kind of took it out, gave me like a shadow root because I still had my roots in there. Mm-hmm. But it's just like a harsh line. So they like
blended it
a little. Yeah, blended it a bit. And so then this week I get my hair done. I get my cast off.
Well, it's I'm just going to be
you're a fresh lady. You're going to be ready for JoJo.
Yeah, I got my new era coming.
Your JoJo era.
Yeah.
So exactly. What do you think it's going to be? What do you think our hair transformation is going to be? Let's guess. Perm. Definitely perm. 80s style perm, you know, all the way out.
My hair is bleached. I can't perm my hair.
Yeah, I was like, Matt, she would be bald.
But I love that idea.
Well, I think you're most famously known, I think, for the green and pink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think... I'm not feeling an orange or a red. Huh. So I'm thinking maybe like a mermaid, like blue, purple.
Very vibrant.
The first time I like fully dyed and bleached in my hair, it went like a mermaid blue and it was so nice. It was so pretty.
Like maybe like a turquoise-y, like because we're coming into summer.
Yeah, I will say I'm not doing something new that I've never done before.
Okay. If she's just brunette.
We don't have the Rolodex.
She's just a brunette.
Okay, I've never been a brunette, to be clear. I've been a dirty blonde, but I've never been a brunette.
She comes in.
Don't let these roots fool you.
Just black.
Yeah.
My roommate's like, go red. And I'm like, I think I'd have to go through a huge heartbreak or something. Like a whole life change to go red.
Well, and that washes out so fast. Yeah. I used to get like, when I was like right after college, I did brunette that had like a hint of red in it. and it was like constantly in the shower drain. I was like, ooh. I'm out of here.
That's the same with pink. Pink fades pretty easily. It's probably all those. Like,
I feel like you would look amazing with like a deep gray. Like deep, really like vibrant deep gray. Yeah, it would really make your eyes pop and stuff too. Yeah.
I know everybody like this like bleach color really got, it got rainy. She was like, keep it. Keep it.
I like it. I feel like you could go icier too.
I know. Yeah. And this was just like, this is really like, there's still like some light pink at the bottom. It was just to like get the hair out what we could in one session without like killing it.
Yeah.
And then like going into the next one to like,
we just need to get a bleach and tone.
Just
a bleach and tone. Vibes. Well, speaking of vibes, Desiree, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this episode. Mm-hmm. The people want to know, they have questions about what is, insanely enough, the Try Guys, one of their most popular video series. Mm-hmm. Who would have saw that coming?
Yeah, truly.
Eat the Menu.
Yeah, Eat the Menu.
You produce all of the Eat the Menu.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So give us the dirty deets. What is a general, like, Keith's like, let's do Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. Where do we go from there?
Now it depends. Because it used to be like, let's eat at like a chain or fast casual place. And all you'd have to do is just like, make sure one is close by, set up the studio to look fun, get the guests, and then like get the food. Mm-hmm. But now like we're doing, like we did like the Cheesecake Factory and now the Michelin season. So those we both worked with the restaurants. And Cheesecake Factory was a breeze to work with. They were great. These Michelin restaurants are just a different level of like working with restaurants in general, because I do stuff with like food versus food and things like that. Mm-hmm. But like restaurants are just usually hard to reach out to. They're like, you want to do a video? Like, I don't really care.
They don't have the same PR. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then, but then like you go to a Michelin restaurant and then they have like, they have PR people, or they have like, it depends on what the restaurant is. Mm-hmm. Some people have people, and some people you're talking directly with the owners who are also like the chefs. So you're like,
that's crazy.
So getting a hold of some, like we reached out, I reached out to probably like, I don't even know, at least 40 restaurants for this Michelin series.
Oh my God.
Wow. Do you ever go like knock on their door? So, like, I can't get a hold of anyone. I'm going to knock on their door.
So not for this Michelin series, but for like food versus food I have. Because food versus food is just like in LA. We're trying different places from different food from different places.
Right.
So that one, it's like, oh, we want to go there. If I'm not getting a call or an email or something, I just go to them in person. Mm-hmm. But the Michelin restaurants, there actually isn't a 3-star restaurant in LA. Mm-hmm. There's one in San Diego, and then
famously.
There's a few up in San Francisco, but there's none in LA.
I mean, it hasn't been for years. I feel like, wasn't there only like one or two that even had 2 stars?
Yeah, I think
there's
up until recently,
like a handful of 2 stars here.
Yeah.
But not a lot. But yeah, so like getting a hold of these people, like even once you are a hold of them, like you have to, I'm like emailing them. I'm trying to call to follow up. Mm-hmm. And then like it wants, even if you do get on a call with them, try even just getting an email response later. You're like, we had a call. You want to do this? Where'd you go? Right. Like we've been like ghosted by some places, but some places, like a lot of it is like, there's one person that knows the Try Guys in that whole restaurant.
Right.
And they're the ones that push it through.
You're like, I need to find that one person.
Yeah. That's literally what it was. It's like, once you find that one person that knows the Try Guys, they can kind of get the rest of the restaurant on board.
Yeah. I also love the idea of like a super fancy Michelin restaurant and just like Desiree on the phone explaining Eat the Menu, like what it entails.
And
I'm just being like, huh?
Yeah, that's another thing. It's like we're pitching them this video, and like all of our other examples are like at these fast food, fast casual. And like Keith is pretty honest. Like if he doesn't like something, he's going to say it. So these Michelin restaurants are like, you that eat the fast food all the time are now going to be doing this.
Their taste level.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. So like even just kind of like catering to that. And they are surprised when we come in. Like one of the chefs we were talking to, he goes, oh, you're doing all of this for a YouTube video? Because we like had all of our gear and stuff. So it's like, it's really like sometimes it's like the chefs don't understand what they're doing, but the PR people do, or there's like, you know, the PR people don't, but the chefs do. It's a lot of different.
They think you're just going to show up with your iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. They think, So
and a selfie stick.
Yeah, exactly. So some people are like, and then others are just like, some of the PR people, like, they've worked with these, like, huge, I don't know, like, Netflix type of people before. So they're like, well, how many vans are you going to bring? How many blocks? And I was like, we put all the equipment in one car. Like, we make sure we can pack it enough so we can carry it. So it's like a in-between of, like, they either think you're, like, don't know what you're doing and you're just, like, coming in with an iPhone, or you're, like, going to be too high strung and it's going to be too much for them. And I'm like, we're like in the middle.
Somewhere in between.
Yeah. So
how similar is the vibe at the Michelin restaurants to the Bear? Have you seen the Bear?
Yes, I've seen the Bear. And I mean, we weren't at the Michelin in their kitchens when they were open. Mm-hmm.
Not sure.
Yeah. But from meeting some of these people, and like, they were all great on camera, very nice to us, but
intense. What it takes to be a Michelin.
Gordon Ramsay behind the scenes.
Well, you have to.
Like,
that's the only way to get stars.
Militant.
Yeah. But I mean, that's how they get
Keith
it done.
Not like some of the stuff? And were Keith, the chefs mad?
No, Keith never said he didn't like any. Well,
usually it's so hard. It's a
Keith
Michelin
restaurant.
What are you not going to like?
Well, it's also like usually like when we try things, it's like, when he eats stuff, he'll like take a few bites of it and then he'll leave it on the side and the rest of us will eat them. Like, everything was eaten at the end. And like, also with these Michelin restaurants, the food is usually pretty bite-sized.
Yeah.
So usually like, you save some and he'll be like, oh, the crew needs to eat this. Like, and we're eating it all. But like, at these, like the 2 and the 3 star, like, they're basically all bite-sized. So he was just popping.
He really
in
is
there,
eating
like,
the menu. Yeah.
They like trolling in the background.
Yeah, like, truly. So, yeah. And like, when there were things to share, he always did, which was amazing for us. But I mean, he ate it all. So
what was the best thing you've had?
Yeah.
The best thing that you've ever tasted.
The best thing I ever tasted. Well, I didn't taste all the food he did.
Right.
But there was, I don't remember what it was, but at Gwen there was a steak.
Yeah.
I just love steak. I am a red meat girl.
Yep.
The steak at Gwen was really, really,
really good.
Good.
I've never been.
They have
been to Gwen a couple times, but we went before, because they have 1 star now, right? Yeah, we went before they got their star. It's Curtis Stone.
Yeah, he was great.
I know, once Keith was like, oh yeah, and then Curtis was there and he was showing us like the meat cellar. I was like,
yeah, no,
okay.
They have their famous. No, their whole butcher shop is right there. It's connected to the restaurant, so that's, you get to like, see all the meats and where it comes from. And
isn't that the same day you broke your ankle or something?
That was the day. So the first day that we filmed at
Gwen.
You could
have missed the best bite of your life.
No,
if you had not shown up that day.
Literally the day before is when I got my cast on my ankle, because that weekend is when I broke it. And like, dealing with the schedule for that day was just like, it was changing like at least 3 times the day before while I was like, going to the doctor, was getting more x-rays, was getting my cast done. And I was up like in the morning, updating the schedule, going to the doctor, fixing the schedule. And I was like, it was like, and then I got there and it was the only restaurant that had stairs.
I was about to say, Gwen famously is like 2 levels.
Yeah, so we did most of the filming before they opened, but then we like finished it off. Like they're like the main dining portion in their upstairs.
Yeah. Wait, did they have an elevator?
No.
Isn't that not legal?
No, I because you're able
because
to go
you have
to the
a
below.
Bottom, yeah,
you haven't. You don't have to go to the above.
I see.
And like, I also was like, I'll do it. Like, I'm like, it was fine.
Yeah.
You have a strong willpower. Being a rugby player.
Yeah, exactly. But like, that was probably like the most off hands I was in any type of. Like sitting there, ankle raised. Because also, for the first like 72 hours after putting a cast on, you're basically supposed to keep your cast above your heart for swelling.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I was like, I have work tomorrow, so.
You're like, it's not gonna work for me.
Yeah, so like, I'd be like in a booth with my foot up and just being like, okay, are we rolling?
At the Michelin star restaurant.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
what does it look like, the actual, so the producing includes the pre-pro, that's all of the scheduling and the talking to the restaurants, talking with Keith, with everyone, all the coordination, that's done. You're there day of. Walk us through like what your role is.
Yeah. So
How does it work?
Yeah. So day of, I'm making sure, because they're usually all on set or off site. And like for the 3 star, we had to fly up to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So day of, I'm just making sure all the gear is getting here. That's usually like Jack, making sure it comes from the office to there. Mm. Meet them there. We load in the gear, and then generally in our schedule for the Michelin the series, we're like very, because they have such tiny menus compared to what we normally do in order to make the videos like as long as we could, like the normal Eat the Menu videos, which are usually 45 minutes to an hour. Right. Mm-hmm. We were like filming in their kitchen, showing like how they make certain dishes and like filming at the bar and showing like how they make those. So like we were getting a lot more of like B-roll type of content during this. So normally when we get there, we start filming in the kitchen, which is like Keith and the chef going through how they make like about 3 to 4 of their dishes. So it's like Keith in the kitchen with the chef. The chef is just like kind of talking him through how he's making things. We're getting all the footage of that. And then we have another cam op kind of going around the restaurant, getting like B-roll of like the table settings and like the vibes and the the like, I don't know, the outdoor signage.
Like, set the scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just kind of just like trying to capture as much footage as you can. From there, we usually go into like an interview with the chef. Mm. And normally when you're in the kitchen, Keith is already talking to the chef. So like you're already getting sound. Some of the kitchens are hard because they have like big like air vents and stuff to fans and
make
things.
Sure there's no, if there's a fire. But,
exactly. So like we were trying to turn them off, but then it would get really, like it just isn't, it's not a great sound environment to film in the kitchen sometimes.
Hey there, overwhelmed foodies. Are you drowning in a sea of meal kit options? Feeling like you're in a bad dating game where every contestant looks the same? Fear not, because amidst the chaos, there's one shining star worth your culinary affection. Home Chef is not just another fish in the meal kit sea. They're the gourmet catch you've been dreaming of. Say goodbye to swiping left on lackluster meals and swipe right for the one brand that'll make your taste buds swoon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes, conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. This past week, I loved the one-pan Cajun-style sassy shrimp tacos. They were delicious, and I would have them again this week. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/sitwithus. That's homechef.com/sitwithus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/sitwithus. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. There's always somewhere to be, something to do, and sometimes it's hard to just focus on yourself. And that's why we think it's great to be in therapy. It's great to have someone you could bounce ideas off of, someone who's impartial, and that's why we love BetterHelp. Therapy is so helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sitwithus. today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sitwithus.
So then we'd kind of get an interview with the chef after, just kind of talking about like, you know, their food.
Are you the interviewer?
No, that's Keith. So Keith, so it's like a lot of like when Keith's on camera, I'm helping direct it, but when he's not, he likes to direct it. Mm-hmm. So it's very much like Keith's creative. And then when he's on camera, I'm kind of just taking over in like the director's role for him. But like when he's not on camera, like Keith, it's his show, baby. Let him ride.
Especially
the Michelin series. Like
this has been
his thing and I'm just trying to help bring it to life.
Yeah.
But like he's asking like the interview, the questions to the chef, he's handling that. And then from there, we usually go into the bar where like we talk with like the bartender and Keith's sitting there making the drinks. The bartender's making the drinks and then they're trying the drinks. And then from there, we'll go into the main table portion. And that's kind of like the more classic Eat the Menu style.
Right.
But like we have to get beauty shots of all of the dishes as they come. For some of them, we kind of just like brought them to a table and got beauty shots of them. For others, we had a cam op in the kitchen like taking beauty shots as they were getting their finishing touches. It just kind of depended what worked in the kitchen, depending on the restaurant. And then Keith would try them. And yeah, and then we wrap up and we leave.
And then what's your role when that's over? Is what? Like the producer's role, is it over there and now you're on to the next? Or is there more that you're coordinating afterwards?
So after the fact, well, during it, we're trying to make sure we have we get all these appearance releases, location agreements, all the things like that. Because the series is more you are going to get a bartender when you're there, but you're not communicating with the bartender stuff. So you're making sure we have all those appearance releases day of. And then when you get back, we have a whole system of I have notes from on set. So I submit all these notes through our Airtable thing. So post-production gets if we film things out of order, if sometimes there would be chefs that come in that aren't mic'd that would be here and I'm explaining this dish. I would mention we didn't have a mic on him when he explained it, but usually sound is I can hear him through another mic. So it's fine. But just letting post know that you didn't lose a clip of sound. It's just we don't have them mic'd up. Mm-hmm. And then it's also if we change things out of order, if we added things, a lot of these restaurants, we were there and they're do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? I don't think a single one of my schedules ran on time for any of these. These ones were
it's always just suggestion.
Yeah.
Suggestion. A starting point.
Yeah. It's these ones are the ones where I'm just once you're there, you're trying to get as much content as you can. Ooh. And if you're not working with a hard out, at the 3-star restaurant, we kept at, they were we can do this and we can do this. And we're we want to get all this content. Keith and Jared were both there. Mm-hmm. And I was being okay, guys, you have an hour to get to the airport. So head on your flight home.
You gotta go, boys.
You gotta go.
Faster.
You're gonna finish this. And then at the end, they're do you want to do this cheese plate? And I was yes. Yeah, we want to do the cheese plate. But I'm Keith, you do that cheese plate. But we're I am behind it being okay, I'm giving him the twirl finger.
Are rising
of being
the stress level.
Okay, yeah. Wrap it up. It's a lot of generally me being Keith, hurry it up. And him being no, everybody wants to know everything about this food. I'm Keith, hurry it up. So it's a lot of push and pull of Keith trying to get as much as he can out of it. And me being we don't have time for all of that being added. So, but we got a lot of really good stuff.
There's also one special guest in the Eat the Menu that happened in the Bay.
Uh-huh.
That was my idea.
Really?
I just want everyone to know.
Good
Keith
job,
was like,
Becky.
I don't know who we should have, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And I'm just going to tease. There's a famous YouTuber that lives in the Bay Area. And I was, and he's one of our favorites. So I was like, Keith, maybe you should text blah, 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 blah. So,
and blah, 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 said yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You can bleep it, Rainey. It was
okay, very nice, Becky. That's a nice, I would love to get that text. You want to eat the menu at the Michelin star?
Yeah, and that's, yeah. Like, at the Michelin that's star. What he said. He was like, yeah, you're only inviting me to the Michelin star restaurant. So yeah, but he's great. And it's always fun seeing when new people come on, they're like, and I've had this experience too, when you go on Eat the Menu for the first time and you're sitting there and you're eating something, you're like, oh yeah, this tastes good. And then Keith's like, yeah, I taste and you're like, oh, right. The little refined notes of things. He's like, it reminds me of a cold, crisp summer day, or this tastes you can taste the brininess of it. And I was like, I think it just tastes good.
It's hard to think of
the words. And you don't really think about it until you're sitting there with Keith and you're like, oh shit, what else do I say about this dish besides it's
good?
He's
tasted so many things now.
He's tasted so many
right?
things.
Yeah.
I'm not going to out who did this because I don't know if it'd be embarrassing for them, but one guest one time wrote down a list of descriptive words and kept it on them.
That's
so that
adorable.
They could
preparing
I was like, that's
preparing
really
is
smart.
Good.
Yeah.
Preparing is good.
Yeah. Preparing is good.
For sure. Yeah.
No, that was smart because I remember the first time I was on Eat the Menu, I didn't prepare myself. I was but I'm also in the middle of helping make this video happen. But I was I prepared myself. I just sat there. I think it was the Chili's one in it was in a party bus.
Yes.
And I was just yeah, this is good. I don't know.
Tastes like
Chili's.
Yeah. I feel like the production value has really elevated. It's really taken a turn from Keith sitting at the kitchen table with a Taco Bell bucket of meat to eating at Michelin restaurants.
Yeah.
One thing I would love for clarity, because even I get confused sometimes. I thought Eat the Menu was dead. I thought we were canceling Eat the Menu. Oh, yeah. We were told Eat the Menu was done. Cheesecake was the end of Eat the Menu.
Oh.
So is it the death of that Eat the Menu era?
Yeah, I think it's like a whole new era of like, one, we want to do more of like season type things. Yeah. So like
elevate.
Yeah.
Eat the Venue.
Elevate. Yeah, Eat the Venue, the Michelin series. Okay. Like, I think you'll still get, because there are still a lot of like fast casual places we haven't hit yet. Mm-hmm. But if we do those, it'll probably be more of like a groups of them, like in a theme type thing.
Okay.
I know some coming up, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say it or not.
I don't know either. That's why I was.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't like, know. But
I've just seen people ask.
Yeah. No. So it's like, no, Eat the Menu's not done. People like it too much for it to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. A good mukbang, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys expect for it to do so well? From the jump, or
I wasn't here when they started it. I got put on this and they were like, okay, this is yours now. And I said, okay, cool.
Okay,
but
cool.
I know like Rachel has said, she's like, yeah, I still can't believe this one took off. So it seems like in the beginning they didn't expect
you never know
it.
What's gonna stick.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? You never know.
But this one really resonates with a lot of people. Like a lot of people like to just like have it in the background while they eat. Like people have always like have reached out to Keith saying that it's helped them with like eating disorders and things like that, which is like very unexpected, but great that it helps people in that way.
There are so many people that will tweet at him and be like, I have a really hard time eating by myself. Mm. So when you're eating, I feel like I'm really sitting with you and eating.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's so sweet. That's so nice.
Yeah. That's so sweet.
That's it's really so sweet.
It's a nice comment to get.
Yeah. 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 Desiree, do you have any stories from on set with any of the guests? I know there is a running rivalry between you and Ryan Garcia.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about this rivalry.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know how.
Ryan is so sweet.
It comes in every once in a while in the video.
I don't even remember how it happened. But it was like, I feel like it was like every time I had Ryan on, I would always put him in a part where like it was like his least favorite food or something. And like,
or the smallest amount
of
food.
Yeah, the like smallest amount of food. And that would be mostly because of like putting when you have like, especially when we were having like a lot of guests at a time, it was like based off of everybody's schedules. And then if somebody had allergies or like, so you really just have to like pop people in where you can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it wasn't really about like, oh, I think this person would be better here. It's really just like, where are they going to fit in this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was a few times where Ryan got the short end of the stick because he just had like, I think the more flexibility in like on that day.
Yeah.
And so then, I don't know, we just had like a on-screen rivalry and it just kept going. So I mean, we keep asking for him back, so he's welcome.
He's welcome.
But yeah, we keep
rivalry is growing.
I would say in dim sum, like he was pretty happy that he got to eat for the Michelin one star or for the Bibquand the guide version. Mm-hmm.
For people who don't know, the Bibgourmand, when a restaurant gets that, means that their food is like so good, but the price point and the like, not ambiance, but the it doesn't meet
experience.
Any of the other standards.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's my favorite kind of food.
Affordable. Yeah, well, you've gone to the dim sum place that we went to. Lunasia is like,
it's so
pretty
good
well
there.
Known. But,
it's so good.
I think he was happy. I think I got him mad about something again. I can't even remember. We just go back and forth.
You have so many feuds, you can't keep track.
I know. I mean, haters. That's how you know you're doing it.
You can't ever make everyone happy.
No.
You know?
So why not make everyone mad?
Exactly. Exactly.
But what has anything crazy happened on set where you're just like, I can't believe this is happening right now?
Oh my God. I need
or something
to think.
Falling apart, even. You know?
Oh yeah.
Those are sometimes
honestly,
the best
moments. The like the most stressful one recently was like when I had was going to the doctors and trying to figure out that schedule back and forth was crazy. And then even like when we were going up to San Francisco, we didn't know like where it's like the scheduling and the reaching out to people all the time. Like
logistics.
We thought we were going to be filming two videos up there. And then like the week before we were leaving for San Francisco, we made the call and we were only doing one. And that was like the same thing with like, we were going to film at a restaurant in LA here. And like the week before they backed out on us.
Mm.
So it's, that's
bitches.
Like, yeah, that's like a lot of
their loss.
The The stress. The stress of it is honestly more in like stuff. The scheduling, logistics stuff. Yeah. Once you're there, like worst comes to worst, you take things out. Like if you're running way over time, you take things out or you add things in. But it was just like we went over most of the time anyway. And that's just that's just what it is.
Where do you really want to do? Well, like we haven't done yet. Where do you really, really want to do? Like, we have to do this someday.
I thought
someday.
You were saying what
this.
Show she wanted to produce. And I was like, obviously, Eat the Menu is her ride and joy.
Which restaurant?
I really
want to do. You're like, we have to go here.
I wanted us for the Michelin one. I really wanted us to go up to the French Laundry.
Oh, yeah.
And I had Kaylin DM them on Instagram. I emailed them multiple times. Right. And they finally, and I even had like, we have some like chefs here, like Monique, like we worked there and she was like trying to talk to her old people. And they finally like emailed me back and they were like, we'll let you know if we're interested. And I was like,
denied.
Like, do not call us. We will call you.
I know. And I was like, you.
What is the French Laundry? Everybody's talking about it all the time.
The thing is, I was like, I don't even know what it is. I just know I've heard of it. And if I've heard, like, this is the thing.
Yeah, that's true.
If I've heard of it, I'm doing Eat the Menu. I am not a foodie. So I do really like all of the theme parks and what, like, I like the Disneyland because I've never gone to Disneyland. Yeah. I think we might have some more
go to Six
ones
Flags,
like that
go to Universal.
In the future.
Disney,
yeah, we did
Knott's
Six
Berry.
Flags.
There's so many.
Yeah.
There's so many.
We did Six Flags. It so was very disappointing food-wise, but going on the rides was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That made up for it.
I liked Knott's. I thought their food was actually shockingly good. And it was also like, they had a lot of information about Knott's that I had like, did you know the boysenberry was invented at Knott's Berry Farm?
See, I've never been to Knott's Berry Farms and I wasn't here when we did that one. So I'm like, can we go back?
That one was pretty cool because they had done their scaring video back in the BuzzFeed days with Knott's, and then they just kind of always kept that contact. So it was really neat.
Oh.
Yeah, I liked that one.
Yeah. I've never been to Disney. I need to go urgently.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I've been to Disney World is like in third grade or something.
Mm. Yeah.
But Disneyland the first time was when we went in for the video last year.
Whoa.
Yeah, but thankfully we had Kaylin who's just...
She knows all.
Yeah,
she's number one. We're actually discussing this pre-podcast. Number one fan.
Yeah, she's
doesn't matter what it is. She's the number one fan.
No,
she's a wealth. She's a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah,
always.
Yeah.
She knows so much.
Uh-huh. Interests.
Yeah.
Hobbies. Interests.
Yeah.
Activities.
I'm like, if we're doing anything Disney, Kaylin's coming with me.
Yeah.
I'm like, she's our expert.
She's
our expert.
Literally, like with Disney, like I sat down with her and I was like, what foods do we need to hit? Where are they?
Yeah.
And then kind of mapped out our thing from there. Like if I didn't have Kaylin for that, and like Disneyland isn't even like her. Disney World is really what she knows the best.
Yeah.
But now that she lives in LA instead of Florida, like she obviously has gone to Disneyland, but she's the one that really helped me like figure out.
Make the list.
Yeah. What to hit, where to go. We were all wearing her Mickey Mouse ears because she has
so
like
cute.
Over 50, like her
she
grandpa,
would.
Her
she
grandpa
would.
Made her 50? Like a, had like made Whoa, like a little a display rack for all of them.
Oh my gosh. That's so cute.
I love that, and it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does not surprise me.
I don't even have one.
I know.
And she has 50.
I don't have any ears. We never did the ears. We were just like, I was going to say normal Disney people. We were like, we just existed at Disney.
You're low-level Disney.
We did. We had the low-level passes.
You're low-level.
Yeah, no, not no more.
People also like the backpacks. I've seen that on YouTube. The ears and the backpacks, they have like the mini backpacks.
Oh, yeah.
And they like match them together for outfits.
Kaylin has a little Disney backpack.
Yeah. That's cute.
Yeah.
I love that vibe.
There's a whole ecosystem.
Do you ever see the Eat the Menu videos come out and you're like, wow, that editor, like, nice. That's a good edit.
Well,
that made that look better than it was.
So usually like, so now when like, I guess I never finished what we do after, after we're done.
We interrupted you.
No. So like after the fact, like I'm on all the edits when they're updating them. Michelle is like our main Eat the Menu editor. Mm. And she like, is just constant because usually we have those out like once a month.
Yeah.
So she's just constantly working on those. Right. So she knows how to, I don't know, do everything with it. And like there's like a, if I knew something went wrong on set, like a, there was like some like question, like if they answered a question weird, like the chefs, cause like sometimes they're nervous or like things like that. Like I like make a little note. I'm like, this one was a little nervous. Like make sure they don't say, they like would come up to me and be like, oh, I didn't mean to say that. And I was like, that's okay. We can edit that.
Yeah.
The magic.
Yeah. We're like, we're not trying to make the chefs look bad at all.
Yeah.
So or any of like their people. So we're like, no, that's like, we'll make sure you look fine. And I like mentioned a little note like, oh, like we had an issue with that. And then she edited it together. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. You couldn't even tell that they like stumbled over their words or like, you know, had to like restart or something. So yeah, Michelle does a lot of good work. The Michelin series, because the turnarounds were so tight, like we just finished filming one last week and another was, the first one was released on last week on Saturday. We've had two freelancers working on two of the videos.
Oh, wow.
Because Michelle just isn't able to do four videos within that amount of time. And we were hoping to film those earlier, but getting in contact with the restaurants and getting a time on both our calendar and theirs was just crazy. Because if our calendar's open and we can kind of do it whenever, but we are filming every day until like end of April, mid-April.
We're at the beginning.
Yeah.
This started like mid March. We were filming for like a week every single day.
So when is there going to be Eat the Menu International?
Oh, great question.
That's what I want to know.
That's a great question.
Because I want to be a guest on that one.
No,
Can you plug me in for that?
Thanks. Yeah, no. So I want that to happen too because I'm like, take me abroad, Keith. But I'm hoping this is like, we want to do a tour and it seems like, you know, we're going to tour across the US or whatever, wherever these people said that they want to go.
Yeah.
We're going to, I think seems like we're going to make that happen. And so, you know, maybe if that goes good, we can take it internationally. This is this is my hopes and dreams.
Where do you want to go?
I have no idea what any of the higher ups are saying, but I'm like, I don't know where I'd want to go. Yeah. I think you need to start in London because London is like, is full of a lot of like foods from a lot of different places. And it's like, it's also, I love London. I studied abroad there and that's just like,
oh, that's fun.
It's also, you don't have to, you can speak English there. Like when we're in other places in Europe, I'm like, oh, I'm really bad. I don't really know Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My French is really bad. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Well, I foresee it in the future. Yeah. We can manifest it
and
here.
And I feel like, Asia is probably like
Singapore.
Singapore.
Oh, so much to eat there.
Yeah. I do think Japan. We need to just remember in our noggins, there is a baby.
Oh,
yeah. There is a baby.
I think babies can get passports.
Yeah, baby.
And he's going to sit with Unky Nat on the plane, is what I'm hearing. Is we have our travel nanny, and his name is Unky Nat.
We're shooting for the stars, Becky. We're shooting for the stars.
And this is why I said I have no idea what the higher ups are saying and what their life is like. But I want to go abroad.
Yeah.
But I think anywhere in Asia would be amazing too.
Yeah.
Because also, like, people love like any of the sushi videos or the dim sum videos and even the Korean barbecue. Like, all of those go well. Yeah. Like, those videos do well. So I think, and who wouldn't want to eat more of that food?
So you also produce another great show on the channel, Smoke Show.
Smoke Show, baby.
So tell us what it's about, how it came to be, and what you're doing.
So Smoke Show is Zach's kind of like casual hangout talk show where they smoke weed. And it's like we're trying like different strains of weed. And then he kind of tries to do different activities and bring on guests to kind of do like interviewee/fun hangout vibes while smoking. Because there aren't a lot of people smoking weed out there, mostly because YouTube will heavily restrict it and demonetize it. So yeah, I know Zach has like definitely been wanting to do a show like that for a while. And then when he was like, okay, like, we're going to make this happen, it was like, Rachel's like, well, I don't want to produce something with weed. And I said, well, and Zach's like, well, Desiree definitely will. And so, yeah, it started. And we honestly have, I think there's only been two released, but we have like four in the bank already.
Oh, wow.
So we've shot four, but they're kind of just like, and like, they've, from when we started filming them to like the fourth episode, it's also changed a lot. And also we definitely want to be like Zach smoked with, I don't know, like
Seth Rogen.
Yeah. Zach smoked with Seth Rogen. Zach smoked with, I don't know, Wiz Khalifa. Zach smoked with Snoop Dogg.
Well, I think Snoop Dogg retired from smoking weed.
No,
didn't he?
That was a joke.
Oh.
That was a marketing
ploy.
That was a marketing ploy.
I got duped.
But yeah, so we want to do more of that. So it's really changed from like how is this strain and what does it do? Where we are trying new strains every time. But to more of like a Zach smoked with this person and like talking about kind of like being able to interview them maybe in a Hot Ones way.
Yeah, but like Hot Ones with weed.
Hot Ones with weed.
Kind of.
And like doing activities and, you know, things that you'd want to do when you're high, or if you're just like sitting there smoking, being high,
yeah,
that you'd have fun.
And you're choosing the activities.
Yeah.
Which are funny. I saw the doc.
Yeah. The activities are really funny.
What are some examples?
Some of the examples, well, the ones that Zach and Keith loved was lemon baseball, where that one did not come from my brain. And I was like, how the hell are we going to do lemon baseball? Where they're like, just get a bat and some lemons and we'll use them as baseballs in the parking lot. And I was like, okay. And they weren't high, I don't think, when they came up with this idea either.
That makes sense.
Like, I was like, sure, guys. So they come up with some like crazy ones where I'm like, do we really have to do, like, we have to bring out, like, okay, fine, we'll do it. And it was great. They loved it. It was funny. But there's like lemon baseball. I'm trying to think of ones of episodes that, the one episode that's come out. We're asking them like questions, giving them like little like science trivia, and then just being
funny.
My God, no idea that happened. And then like trying to give them little activities, like little games that they could do. Mm-hmm. I really want to bring like an operation, like, you know,
I have one.
Yeah.
Like,
I have an operation. We played it during the pandemic, mostly when we were high.
Yeah.
It's a really like stressful game.
Yeah. I feel like having them try to do that would be fun. Fidget toys. We bought like a bunch of fidget toys now to play with, and now they're a staple in our office. Zach has them in every meeting.
That's where they came from.
Yeah, that's where they came from originally. Is from Smoke Show. I bought a bunch for Smoke Show, and I said we're gonna need these in the office anyway.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Zach was always playing with like
markers.
Yeah, garbage. He is the king of garbage.
It's like the piece of this of the conference room chairs that were falling off.
Uh-huh.
He would like play with them in meetings in there, and I'm like, we need to get this man an actual fidget toy.
So we need to get this man a toy.
Yeah,
this man a toy.
So we kept them all in there now, and now he can play with actual things. But yeah, it's really fun. I have a lot of ideas for the future, but I can't really share them.
I have a question about how it gets filmed, because I've only been in one video where we smoked weed, and that was weed trivia, and it was a stressful environment to be high in because I can't remember. On Smoke Show, do they actually put the joint to their mouth, blow out the smoke? You just know the video is getting demonetized at the jump?
So when we're shooting this, we shoot it where we include pieces of like... For the YouTube version, like Zach stands up and spins, and that's him getting high.
Yeah.
So we make sure we film those transitions of that happening, but we also film them smoking it.
Yeah.
Because we know like that part has been on, is on like the Patreon, because we have like the longer, longer cut of it that doesn't get demonetized. I mean, it doesn't get monetized at all.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's during the trivia. We're very, Rachel would not yell, but like she was being strict about when we had basically the rule of thumb was that you can't show, you can show a joint, going to your lips.
Oh.
But if you blow smoke out of your lips with the joint still in this one frame, bad. Can't have that.
Yeah.
But you could put the joint to your lips, put the joint on your side and then blow out as two separate things, and it was fine.
Huh.
So during that trivia, it was like Rachel being like, okay, take the hit, put it down, blow it out.
Also now.
And I was like, I'm so stressed.
No, that's really stressful. And definitely the first time we were trying, because that's when we were really trying to like adhere to YouTube's guidelines. And we had a meeting with YouTube being like, what can we show? What can't we show? And like, I think Zach has said this before. It's pretty clear that YouTube just doesn't.
No.
They don't even know what they can and can't show. The policy isn't like across
cohesive,
the board.
Yeah.
So it's like we tried to do that the first time, like only show certain things and not, and it still got demonetized even though we did everything they told us to do. So now we film it where it's like you smoke the whole thing. We do try to remove the joints after they've been, because like we're also not trying to get them like so high that they can't talk.
Yeah.
And it depends. It depends on the guest. If you have a high like tolerance, they can smoke more, whereas Zach has a surprisingly low tolerance.
Very low.
Which is like shockingly low. So he takes like two hits and then he's done. But like when they're in that part of like the smoking, once they're done with that and we move on to activities, I make sure there's no weed on the table. So that part can actually be in the YouTube version, whereas like the whole uncut thing will be on the Patreon version. So like, I mean, it'll be edited, but like they're not going to have, like we're not going to remove the part where the weed's on the table, or like sometimes they blur it or put a little put a little thingy on it or something like that. So there's like, we just make sure we add those little sequences in there to shoot so we can make sure they can edit it or, yeah.
And then what's the onset vibe look like on those days? Because I've seen the sort of pre-emails come out that are like, this is what's happening in the office. Yep. You can work from home.
Yeah, so we usually send out before we do it, like letting people in the office know, like, we're going to be smoking weed. If you're not comfortable with that, like, feel free to work from home. Like, it'll be during whatever time. And we also make sure all of, like, our freelance crew are okay with, like, being in a room where you're going to, they're going to be smoking weed. But, yeah, so we make sure all of, like, the crew and all of our staff are, like, okay to be here when we're smoking the weed. And they don't have to be in office while we're doing it. And then in the studio is really where they're smoking it. And it's pretty chill. It's just, like, two cam ops, Jack on sound normally, me in there. I mean, when I had my broken ankle, we had like, I had somebody from production in there helping run things back and forth. And then just like Zach and the guests.
Small crew.
And then we also have, now we have like a kind of like our sober monitors, I like to call them. That was like Keith's role in it where like he's he's in there and he's kind of like guiding them to, because there's like times where they're going on about things and you're like.
a tangent
and they're high and he's like, that's not funny. Let's move on. Yeah. Because they're so high that they're just like,
Well, and you think different things are funny when you're high and you're like, okay, but not everyone watching this is going to be high.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have like a little sober monitor who's like on camera in there. And we generally try to keep the vibes fun. But also like everybody here, I don't really think anybody works from home when we do that. It's just more of like everybody here is pretty comfy. Maybe a few who just are like,
might as well work from home.
Might as well.
Also, if you have the option.
Yeah, so we just like try to make sure everybody there is comfy with it, especially like the freelancers. But once you usually have a crew that starts working on a show, you kind of just keep rehiring them because you know that they know what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's like we've.
Yeah, I see a lot of the same faces, like Chris and Phil.
Yeah.
I see them almost every time for like Eat the Menu.
Yeah. Phil is usually our go to for Eat the Menu stuff for our DP. And then, like, you know, if there's like, I don't know, like a series, like I had Chris do the smoke show and so he's already done it before. So we're just going to keep having him do it. It's easier to have the same freelance crew for the same thing on and on. So,
yeah. Are you directing smoke show when that's happening too? Or is Zach and the sober monitor kind of
I'm definitely
directing.
I'm more directing in this one. Yeah. Zach, once he's high, doesn't have much good, and he even he's like, I can't do anything. That's also kind of why we have the sober monitor to like help with that, but definitely a lot more directing on my part.
What is directing? I feel like that's one of those words that I'm like, I don't really know.
Honestly, great question. it's especially different here because it's like we're used to like, I guess like who I would be looking up to would be Rachel, who like is producing and directing. And like for me, like I don't really know where the world, like where the difference is or isn't.
Right.
But it's really like directing is like, let's make sure we get that shot. Like making sure like if we need to get a close up of something, we're getting it. Or if the cast needs to be like doing something different or things like that. It's like you're really telling the people on camera or even the cameras to be doing one thing or another.
You steer the ship.
Yeah.
Right.
They're doing things on the ship, but you're steering it.
Yeah. So I definitely, during Smoke Show, I'm doing a lot of that. During Eat the Menu, I do that too, but when Keith's not on camera. And also, like, Eat the Menu is just such an easy.
I feel like you've done it so much.
It's a true format.
It's like a formula.
Yeah, it's so formulaic that, like, you know exactly what you need to get, how you need to get. So the only thing you're really directing is, like, the new talent to, like, because that's another thing. Like, the chefs, like, I'd be, like, face towards camera. A lot of them would just be, like, back to camera presenting the dish. I'm like, no. Like, come to the back. Like, face towards camera. Yeah. So that was really more of the directing I was doing in Eat the Menu. But, yeah, that's.
And what was it like to, like, get a show from the ground up? Like, were you in meetings with who?
Yeah, because that was, like, my first time that I've been on a show that I, like, helped with a show that was new. And it was really, this was all, like, from Zach's mind. So it was a lot of meetings with Zach on, like, what he wants this to be, like, what activities we want to do, things like that. Now we've filmed, like, one new episode where we actually had a writer come on and help. Just to, like, find just because, like, we were filming so much that, like, neither of us had the brain space to even think about what activities we wanted to do.
Oh, so writing the activities.
Yeah, so help writing the activities. Yeah. Like, Zach pretty much knew what kind of format he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was to like help write the activities.
Mm-hmm. Fine-tune things.
Yeah, fine-tune things, which was nice, especially when it's like, because the thing about Smoke Show is like, it's so easy to film, but it also includes like a good amount of brain power prep. Yeah. Like,
oh yeah.
You need like a structure. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's like you need to get all of the, it's like, oh, we can film Smoke Show this week. And it's like, okay, I need to know what weed we're doing, what all the activities are, mm-hmm. buy all the activities, mm-hmm. make them all note cards.
Buy the weed.
Yeah. Buy the weed and like make sure we have guests for it. Mm-hmm. So like,
wow. Yeah.
I think we started this thing and be like, oh, this will be like an easy, and like, it's not like so in depth, like any of like our cooking ones we do, which are always like, you know, like without a recipe, phoning it in, escape the kitchen, huge crew, you have art department, you have all of that. So that's why this one's literally generally more like lo-fi, but it's more a lot on like me and Zach trying to be like, okay, we got to get this stuff down. And then sometimes if we don't have the time, we're like, we'll get a writer.
Yeah. But, I mean, the more you prep, the better things normally
turn exactly. out.
Exactly. Right.
And it's usually like me being stressed out and it being like, like the, when we're like in the moment, I'm like, everything's all ready, but I'm like, okay, this is, and then like, Zach's just like, hee hee. But it's all great. And he's like, I think it was great. And I'm like, yeah, we'll wait until you see the footage. it always is good, but it's always like, I'm the sober stressed one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But
did you ever think that this is what you would be doing?
No.
Yeah.
Watching people eat and smoke.
No, definitely not. But I'm not mad about it.
What's your dream idea if you were pitching a show?
I was pitching a show.
Because I feel like sometimes from having a lot of producer friends, I have some producer friends, mm-hmm. like Erica. Mm-hmm. Erica is like, I'll help you with creative, but that is not my, that's not what I'm excited by. I'm excited by spreadsheets and schedules.
Yeah, she loves a spreadsheet.
She loves a spreadsheet for everything.
She seems very organized.
She's very, very organized. Yeah. And from you, I get the sense that you're more in that middle ground. You like the spreadsheets and organizing, but you do come up with creatives and you brainstorm. Yeah.
I want a dating show for Rainey.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Desiree.
Rainey is excited about that idea. Rainey is very excited about that idea.
We'll have to check with the HR to see how that
that's another one that I
would go.
Don't think we'll be able to make.
I mean, dating show idea
I think a dating show,
dating
really
show
fun,
would be fun.
But it's hard because the guys are all in happy relationships, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is a bummer. That's a bummer.
That's a bummer.
We need a new single one.
Yeah, we need a single one again.
New single guy.
Because I would love to do some type of dating format.
Yeah. Those just like, make me so nervous.
I love Love Island. I love things like that. And I did really like Common Sense. Like I like the game show, the bigger shows that. So probably something more.
I bet
like,
Joyce would do a dating show. I think she's single. I'm not sure. I don't want to speak for her, but maybe I am right now.
No, that's a really
from what I've seen online, I don't think she's dating anyone. Maybe she has a secret.
Joyce would be a really secret
person. But she'd be funny on a dating show.
Who would you set me up with? Who's your dream man for me?
Oh.
Oh my God, my dream man for me.
Who would be contestant 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's a good one.
All the people you say, I'd have to, I'm like, I don't even know any of their names. What is his name? Like Frog or something?
Fibula. Are you thinking of Fibula? I think he goes by Fibula. Connor now.
He goes, I know, he changed
it. Okay, but honestly, I think we could get him.
Yeah.
I think
we're 1 degree.
He's very funny.
Yeah,
he's very funny.
He's very clever.
Yeah. All right. Okay, a dating show.
I want a dating show.
I like
show.
That vibe.
Dating show is a good idea. There's a lot you could do with that.
100%. What if you combined the, I don't know what they call the restaurant series, the making a 24-hour like pizza kitchen, that one. What if you did like that with 24
hour girlfriend?
No, just like no, like a 24 hour pizza restaurant, but everyone's there on a first date, and also it's
oh my God, making,
just watching other people on a first date.
Oh, that's really, a good meet cute.
Yeah,
that's really cute.
Because there's
and the people don't know they're coming to a fake restaurant.
Oh my God, it's a fake restaurant. Yeah. Everybody's single.
Yeah,
yeah.
That is a YouTube show. My parents watch it. I don't know why. It's a British YouTube show where these people go on dates at this fake restaurant. But like, I really want it to be a real fake restaurant, like with Keith making the pizza in the back and Quasi seating
and
them.
Like Zach making like the vibes of like, oh, like, I don't know.
You could be the
like,
maitre d'.
It's
like,
giving like the Little Mermaid when they're like, kiss the girl.
Yes!
It's, like, all of like the
singing, you could like, do a casting call for singles in LA to come and eat at the restaurant.
quote unquote.
This is great. I love this for you.
I love this journey.
This is great.
Let us know when it's happening.
Yeah, I'll pitch it for the next time we do a 24-hour video. You're just going to be like, you want to do what?
Becky and I can be the host. We'll seat people down.
That's really funny.
We're in.
We'll do it.
Amazing.
We'll do
done.
It.
Great.
So you have half the casting done.
Yeah, we're already in pre-pro, baby.
And we're cheap. We're cheap. We might even do a pro bono because it sounds fun.
Wow. Yeah, just for the pilot. Just for the pilot.
So the pilot. You can replace us with another brunette and another brunette.
Like, if you got lookalikes after, that would be so funny.
Or just puppets. It's like an Uncanny Valley, Becky and Matt.
That'd be so funny.
That's so good.
Well, Desiree, this was so fun.
Yeah,
thank you so much for coming on.
Of course,
you can sit with us again.
Me.
We love this. Where can the people find you on the internet?
They can find me on Instagram at Desiree Hurlbutt, and I'm also kind of on TikTok a little bit now.
Ooh.
TikTok viral. But my TikTok is PinkyHockey16. Which is like my AIM screen name, but I'm just not changing it. I'm not trying to brand myself there.
Vibes.
But I kind of like hit on TikTok for a while. I'm like, you don't have to tag me, but I got my previous cast signed by a bunch of professional rugby players.
Oh.
So that TikTok went a little bit viral.
A little bit viral.
On the rugby, in the rugby world. So
love
rugby
that.
Famous TikTok.
And speaking of rugby, do you want to plug your rugby team?
Yeah, Santa Monica Women's Rugby. If you're an athletic woman in LA, please join. I'm really stressing athletic at this point.
Ouch.
Like, we have just been we've been like doing a lot of stuff where we're posting and we're like, oh, we're fun and we're queer. We're not like exclusively queer, but we've been having people join and they're like, I love this. I don't want to play though. And I'm like,
you're like, that's part of the gig.
That's kind of part of it.
Yeah, so you don't have to be gay, you can be straight too, and just if you're athletic, come play with us. And if not, go play with your local rugby team. They're amazing. Maybe you can go for just the vibes too, but
but for Santa Monica Women's Rugby, athletic, please.
Yeah,
they need players.
They need players.
Yeah, we need players.
Yeah.
Or donations. You guys take donations?
We take donations. We take donations on our website. You can just go to santamonicarugby.com. And if there's a little donation button, and make sure it goes to the women's team because we don't want to support the men's team. No, I love them mostly, but...
Well, thank you all for sitting with us today. Until next time, make sure you're washing your hands, peeing after sex. Mm-hmm.
That's a big
being
one.
Nice to people, tipping your servers, mm-hmm. getting vaccinated for everything you need to be
registering
vaccinated
to
for.
Vote.
Register to vote.
And vote. Do both.
And vote. And support your local women's rugby soccer team. Rugby team?
Your local women's rugby team.
Local. Support your local women's rugby team.
Perfect.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.